Well, it's great to be with you guys in Brooklyn, to be at the Brooklyn and Staten Island Campus Ministries. I'm really encouraged because I see all of you at the big All New York Devos, but it's felt very special to see a lot of you in this more intimate setting. So I've just felt very warmly welcomed by those of you I've been able to talk to so far, and it's exciting for me to see you. I got to go up on Brooklyn College campus for the first time, and Ashton took me over to a little koi pond. And he told me that one of the koi in there is a descendant of a fish that was in space. Do you guys know that? So the kois in there are all descendants of a koi that, for some reason, was brought into space. So I guess that's for some inspiration there. But that's pretty awesome. But man, what an amazing spring retreat, wasn't it? It was awesome, and it went by really quickly. And, you know, times to reflect, like Ashton talked about, help it not just to be a weekend, but to become part of our life, as we want to remember the things that were said and make them part of us. And before we get into a time of sharing together about the retreat, I just want to take a little bit of time to preach some stuff from Acts chapter 17, verses 1 to 15, to continue our study of the book of Acts. I know as a whole New York campus ministry, we've been studying out the book of Acts. Our theme has been the way. As Jesus is the way and his church, us, is trying to be the way like Jesus was, as we're trying to be like him. So we'll look at Acts 17, 1 to 15 together. Pedro is going to do the rest of Acts 17 at All New York Devo on Friday. So that'll be great to continue our series. And then we'll break up into groups, have some sharing, and then have a discussion, and then have a few people share. But as Ashton said, we're going to reflect from the retreat, and then we're going to respond. The title, if you have intelligence, you will reflect and respond.
Wow.
The title of my lesson tonight actually is Have a Righteous Response to the Word. It's right up there. You reflect, and then you have a righteous response to the Word. Because we're all going to respond to when we hear the Bible, but are we all going to respond righteously? You know, whenever you hear the word preached, you respond, but we don't always respond righteously. Amen. You know, we've been studying out the book of Acts together, and you see Paul and his companions going city to city, preaching the word, planting churches, right? Yes. You see a whole lot of different responses from people. And that's what we're going to see in Acts chapter 17 as well. But what they saw, what Paul and his companions saw, was that as they traveled from city to city, when the word was preached, it drew lines in the sand for people. That when the word was preached, it divided people who either obeyed and followed or disobeyed and rejected it, right? We see people really, when the word is preached, the line is drawn. And you know, that's something that we've got to know, is that anytime we hear the word of God, we must respond. It's not even really an option. We are responding. We're just choosing to respond in obedience, or we're choosing to respond in disobedience. But anytime you hear the word, you're answering yes or you're answering no. Right? You're answering with trust in God, or you are answering with questioning God. When you hear the Bible, it will either soften your heart or you will harden your heart to it. When you hear the word of God, you will either mold your mind to it or you'll use your mind to distort it. When you hear the word of God, you're either going to obey it or you're going to deny it. Yeah. When we hear the word, it calls us to a response. And that's what I see, is that it really does boil down to only two different ways that we can respond when we hear the word preached. We can either repent or we can rebel. And those are the two responses, is we could respond in repentance, and that's the righteous response, or we could respond with rebellion. Right? When I talk about repentance, what I mean by that is, you know, to have that change of mind, the change of heart, and the change of life that the word of God is calling us to have. That we're transforming and changing ourselves to become who God or what God is calling us to be in the scriptures. So when we hear the word preached, we can respond righteously and repent and allow it to mold us, to shape us, to not be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind and become more like what the scriptures are calling us to instead. So does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the righteous response. The rebellious response is when you hear the word preached and you disobey what the Bible's saying. Or you resist it, you know, and you retaliate, or you reject it and turn away from it. You know, those are the two responses that we can have. And, you know, when I got to Brooklyn College today, I was trying to find parking, and it took a while. And I had an interaction with a woman that I had to choose to either rebel against her or to repent. And I repented. And I'm glad I repented. because she was in the right. I was driving on one side of the street, and there was a beautiful spot on the other side. And the light had turned red, so I was like, all right, I could do this, because there was no one coming. So I go to do a K-turn, so I turn into a driveway that was right next to the empty spot, and I was just going to back into it, fix myself out, and be good. But as I pull in the driveway, and I'm starting to back out, the light had turned green, and the first car coming had their blinker on, looking like they were trying to take the spot I was going to park in. So I turn around, and I'm mouthing, you know, I'm parking there. And I'm even doing that thing where I'm like saying it quietly, even though I'm mouthing it. I don't know if any of you drive, but you do that. It's like there's no point, but you're like, I'm parking there. You just say it still. So I do that, and then she's pointing at the spot saying something, and I'm like, I'm parking there. And you know, and then I'm like, I was here first. That's my, you know? And then I'm paying more attention to her lips, and I'm seeing she's saying, I live here. And I'm like, oh, and then I quick threw in reverse, pulled out. She pulled into the driveway, went down, and I was like, you know, I'm just gonna go park somewhere else. Because I don't want to leave my car at the end of her driveway in case she wanted some sort of conversation with me about the interaction. But I had to choose in that decision. Am I gonna rebel and just stick with it? Or am I gonna see that this woman is in the right and go ahead and turn and change the right way that I should go? And that's when we hear the word of God. We've gotta know God is always in the right. And we just have to decide, are we going to respond righteously and repent, or are we going to respond rebelliously and reject or disobey what God is trying to say?
Yeah.
So let's read Acts chapter 17, 1 to 15 together. Right. And my hope is that we can all leave here tonight really decided that we're going to be a people that whenever we hear the word preached, anytime we hear the word of God, we'll respond righteously with repentance. Do you want that to be you guys?
Yeah.
You want to be someone that when you hear the word of God, you rebel? Or do you want to be someone that when you hear the word, you align yourself with it and repent? Yeah. You want to repent, right?
Yeah.
So Acts 17, verse 1 to 15. You guys there?
Yeah.
Awesome. It says, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Christ, he said. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and not a few prominent women. But the Jews were jealous. So they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the other brothers before the city officials, shouting, "These men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here. And Jason has welcomed them into his house. They are all defying Caesar's decree, saying that there's no other king. There's another king, one called Jesus." When they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil. Then they made Jason and the others post bond and let them go. As soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now the Berean Jews were a more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Many of the Jews believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. When the Jews in Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching the word of God at Berea, they went there too, agitating the crowds and stirring them up. The brothers immediately sent Paul to the coast, but Silas and Timothy stayed at Berea. The men who escorted Paul brought him to Athens and then left with instructions for Silas and Timothy to join him as soon as possible. You know, if there's anything that's clear from this passage and many others in the book of Acts is that when the word of God is preached, people respond righteously or they respond with rebellion. Right? You see some people who really accept the word of God and who repent and respond righteously. And then you see some people who don't accept the word that was being preached. They have different worldly and sinful motives, and then they gather, form a riot, and really live in opposition to God, rebelling against Him. And we do see that those are the only two responses that there are. When you really understand that the Bible is the Word of God, and when you really understand what the Bible is saying, you do respond strongly one way or the other. And that's how we all fall as well today, that we either respond righteously to God's Word or we respond with rebellion. You know, something just to point out to you is that when it says, these men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here. You know, it's in the King James Version and some other different translations. That's the line that's, these men who have turned the world upside down have now come here also. You know, and you just see the disciples, they were just out there having an impact, turning the world upside down through the power of the Word of God as they were traveling and preaching the Word of God. You know, I think that there's a lot for us to learn from our first century disciple brothers and sisters, right?
Yeah.
There's so much to be inspired from by them. And I think we should imitate these disciples who followed Jesus so closely and turned the world upside down. Isn't that what we want to do? Don't you want to turn Brooklyn and Staten Island upside down?
Yeah.
Where just everybody, whether they respond righteously or irrighteously, they know about God. And they know that there is a God with this group of people.
Amen.
You know, we want to turn the world upside down too. And then we're going to do that if we make it our custom that wherever we go, we spread the Word of God. Did you notice in the beginning of it, it says, as was his custom, Paul went and began to speak. You know, it was his way of life, it was his custom that as soon as he got somewhere, any new place, wherever he went, he spread the Word of God with people. And if you want to turn the world upside down, if you want to turn Brooklyn or Staten Island upside down, you've got to spread the Word of God wherever you go.
Yeah.
So let's make that our custom, that wherever we go, we're getting people into the Bible, sharing scriptures, setting up Bible studies, having Bible studies with people, reasoning, explaining, proving the scriptures to people, like we see Paul and these disciples doing here. That's where the lines are drawn, and then that's where disciples are made. We want to always be reaching out to new people and having Bible studies so that people can choose to respond righteously or in rebellion to God, right? So that's something great that we can imitate from them, you know, and we can know that even though there are people who will reject and say no, we're always, the harvest is plentiful, and we're always going to find people who will accept and will respond righteously. Even in the city of Thessalonica, where they end up gathering together a riot, there were still people who responded with repentance. You know, so even when it seems like the majority of people aren't open, if we keep looking, we will find those open people.
Amen.
Right? So we've got to have it as a custom in our life that wherever we go, we share with people as well, because there are open people there. Amen?
Amen?
You know, so I just want to throw that out there. But the rest of the time that I'm talking here, I really want to just focus on how you respond. Right? So there's other people's response, and amen for that. But even as disciples, we got to make sure that we are still responding righteously to the scriptures. That we're still responding righteously with repentance to the scriptures. So I just want to spend the rest of the time more focused for you to focus on yourself. Amen?
Amen.
So I want you to think, how do you respond to a disciple who is preaching, reasoning, explaining, or trying to prove something to you from the Word of God? How do you respond? Do you respond humbly, righteously, and repent? Or do you respond with rebellion? You know, and it doesn't have to be just a sermon. It could be a sermon like this where the word is being preached and things are being pointed out. It could be a discipling time where somebody sits down and opens up the Bible and shares a verse with you. You know, it could be during fellowship if you're talking and somebody brings up a scripture, which we should do in fellowship. It even could be if it's just you by yourself cracking it open in the morning for your quiet time. Even if no one else is there, when the words of God are speaking to you, how do you respond? Whether it's in your quiet time, in fellowship, in a D time, or in a sermon, how do you respond when you hear the Word of God? Do you repent and allow the Word to transform your heart, your mind, and your life? Or do you rebel, resisting it, avoiding it, ignoring it, and disobeying what God is saying? You know, you might not actively think, I rebel to the Word of God. Because maybe you're not thinking that way, like, yeah, I'm in rebellion to God. But really, when we hear the Word of God preached and we continue to be the same, or we don't let it correct our attitude, or we don't let it change the way that we think or what's in our heart, we really are rebelling to what God is saying. You know, we've got to realize when we're rebelling. You know, and that sometimes it is subtle. Or sometimes we could mask it with our emotion or our attitude and think, well, that's just how I feel. But really, if we're not letting God's word shape us and mold us, which is repentance, we are rebelling to God. You know, and I do think it's important for us to make sure that humble, submissive, obedient responses to the word were not just something that we did when we studied to become a Christian, but something that's part of our lives as we're growing as a Christian, right? Just like how when you study the Bible, you had those studies where you were like, ooh, you know, and it's really cutting to the core of you. You know, we need those just as much as disciples as before we were disciples. And you know, you don't want to be more close to the word as a Christian than you were as a non-Christian.
Wow.
You know, that's why people end up walking away, is they stop letting the word cause them to respond righteously and to repent. You start to harden your heart to the word, right? There's a verse in Hebrews chapter 3 that we're all familiar with, right? It says, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God."
Yeah.
Right? And then in verse 7, it gives some more insight into how we can make sure we don't turn away from God. And when it says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, it says, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion."
Wow.
Referring to in the Exodus when they were rebelling against God and Moses, but also referring to each individual person listening's life when you used to rebel to God. You know, so what's going to help keep you from walking away from God is keeping a soft-hearted, righteous response to his words. So today, which we should be hearing his words every day. First of all, there's multiple meetings of the body week where we're hearing the word of God. Second of all, we should all be having daily time in the word of God, right? Our quiet times where we're letting God speak to us. So today, which should be every day, when you hear his words, don't harden your heart. Let your heart be soft and absorb, accept, and respond on what God is trying to say to you. Amen?
Amen.
Now, so what are some rebellious thoughts? You know, some rebellious thoughts when you're listening to a sermon, when you're in your D time or in your quiet time. Some rebellious thoughts are, I don't need to hear this. You know, or some rebellious thoughts could be, I've heard a sermon on this before. I've heard a sermon on this scripture before.
Yeah.
Yeah, but do you still need it? Are you practicing it perfectly? You know? You know, you've got to think, are you having rebellious thoughts? You know, or maybe it's just by not paying attention. You show up, the word's being preached, and you're just literally ignoring God speaking. You know, right now this is not, but when you read the Bible, when the Bible's being preached, those are the words of God.
Yeah.
You know, and you're being rebellious if when the Bible's being read or preached, you're just not paying attention. You know, it's disrespectful to God, which is rebellious. You know, where you don't put into practice what's being said. You know, the word is given commands or teachings or instructions, and you walk away and none of them become part of your life. That's being rebellious. Or being self-defensive, right? As you're hearing things in your head, you're like, well, you know, he doesn't know what I'm going through. Or, well, it's not, it's the Bible. God does know what you're going through. He's still saying this to you, you know? You're not on trial. You're not here to, you don't have to defend yourself. You're a Christian, you know? But God is trying to help you to be more like Jesus. You know, you might have a rebellious attitude, an attitude towards leadership or the campus ministry or somebody else in the room, and that's just blocking you from listening to God, right? So you've got to have a respect for, man, when the Word of God, whether you're reading it by yourself or it's being preached or in a D time, that you really respect it as the very words of God. Amen?
Yeah.
So those aren't the things that we want to do. You know, so rather than responding unrighteously and rebellious like many in Thessalonica, we're called to be someone who God would refer to as noble. Isn't that who you guys want to be?
Yeah.
That God was like, man, the Brooklyn and Staten Islands were not like, I don't want to put down anybody else. People other places, you know? They were noble. They responded with eagerness and examined every day, right? And became believers and had conviction. You know, that's what you guys want to be, is people who hear the word of God and God says, these are noble men and women. You know, they're of high ranking, of high standard. You know, this is an example to follow. You know what? I want them to be written down about in scriptures so that every person that disciples 2,000 years from now study the Bible with, they're the example that they're called to.
Wow.
You know, I mean, what an inspiring example. We want to be like the Bereans who have noble character and respond to the word of God the way that they were lifted up for, who respond righteously with a repentant mindset, letting the word of God change our hearts, our minds, and our lives. Right? So what does it say about the Bereans? It says they received the message with eagerness. And that's where we want to keep getting our hearts back to, is excited to hear the word of God, eager to hear the word of God, urgent to hear the word of God, longing to hear the word of God, just eagerness to hear God speak to you. You know, when you have a really close friend, or, you know, when you have an interest in a brother or sister, and that person comes to talk to you, you get excited. You're eager to talk to them, right? You're like, ooh, I get to talk. You know, they're coming to talk to me. You know, and that, we should feel that way about God more than anybody. Amen. You know, my Heavenly Father, my Savior, my Lord, my King, you know, the person that died for me, the Creator of the universe is calling me right now.
Wow.
You know, that we should have this eagerness. Wow, God will talk to me every day. You know, I'm about to hear the Word of God preached or shared with me. You know, that's something exciting. You know, I appreciate it. I got some time with Ashton before this, and I was like, hey, man, let's read this one scripture. And I was just going to read it, but he whips out his Bible, turns to it, pulls out his notebook. I mean, there was just an eagerness there for what, I mean, he didn't even know what we were going to look at yet, but it was just like eagerness, you know? Oh, the Bible, you know, he wasn't doing that just when I was talking. But the second I was like, well, let me show you this one verse in Luke, you know, it was boom, Bible out, notebook out, pen out, you know? And that's what we want to have, is this these are God's words, right? So eagerness, you know, be excited to hear God's word. And really, really having that mindset when you're coming to church on Sunday and there's about to be a sermon, to midweek Wednesday and there's going to be preaching, to your D time when you know you're going to hear scriptures, or just your daily personal time with God, that there's eagerness to read the word of God. Amen?
Yeah.
So calling you guys to be men and women of eagerness like the Bereans. You know, something else I mentioned on a little bit, but if you're eager, you pay attention. You're focused. If you're eager, you take notes, you know? You show up, I want to learn. And one of the most fundamental postures of learning is note-taking, you know? And the disciples in the first century, and even before that, if a rabbi had a disciple, and a rabbi started to teach something, and the disciple didn't have a scroll or something to write on, it was not uncommon for a disciple to tear off part of their clothing and write down what their teacher was saying on their clothes. You know, so something for us to reflect on. Do we value our clothing more than we value taking notes during lessons?
Wow.
You know, this is something, it's not about taking notes, but it's about that posture of humility and learning. And I'm here to learn and I'm eager to learn, you know. And I think that that's so important. I notice pride in my heart as I've been a Christian 7 years and I don't take notes in sermons as much. I'm like, well, am I less eager? Am I suddenly above that? No, and I'm like, Rob, and I'm trying to just have this humble humility, sit at the feet of Jesus posture that I've never learned too much. I still need to repent. And no matter how many times I've heard sermons, I'm still going to take notes because I'm eager to hear the word of God. I never get sick of hearing God's voice. Right, for the rest of my life, as I have quiet times, if I have D times, as I hear sermons, I'm going to be eager to hear what God has to say to me. Amen?
Yeah.
It also says that part of what made them respond righteously was that they examined the scriptures every day. You know, that's what we want to do, is get in the Bible every single day. And part of why they did that was because they wanted to make sure that their convictions wasn't based on Paul's convictions, but their convictions were based on scripture. Right? And I think that's what makes us so strong as a church, is that, you know, true discipleship is not just up to the leader having convictions and everybody coming and just rubbing off on that, but where every disciple is walking with Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to be, is disciples who, yeah, there's leaders who preach and do that kind of stuff, but every one of us is a disciple of Jesus on our own, and all of us are going back to the Bible for our faith, for our beliefs, and for our convictions, and the things we do. And I will say that I really don't think that there's any hint of them doing this from a place of mistrust in Paul. I think they liked Paul. I think they trusted Paul. I don't think they were like, this guy sounds sketchy. Let's check the Bible. You know, or I don't really like what he's saying. Let me see if it checks out. You know, it's not this mindset of like, well, let me make sure what the preacher's saying is in the Bible. You know, I mean, there's trust there, but it was more about they had a conviction that even though the sermon sounds great, my foundation and my convictions aren't going to be put in somebody else. I'm going to make sure that I put them in me. Mm-hmm. And the Bible is what builds convictions in us. Putting the Word of God is what puts convictions in us, right? So when you hear a sermon preached, or when you go to a retreat like we just did, and you hear great classes and great preaching, Or when you have a quiet time and you're reading what Paul wrote, or Ezekiel, or Amos, or you know, Luke, or these guys, that what they're saying and what is their convictions needs to become your conviction. Right? That's the posture that we have, is as somebody's preaching the word, their conviction needs to become my conviction. That they're not just preaching their convictions from the word, but the same word of God they got their convictions from, I'm going to get my convictions from, rather than getting your convictions from them. Right? So when we hear the Bible preached, we want to take their convictions and bring them to ourselves as well. You know? So I think that's a really important thing to have in mind, is not just to like be like, you know, we could hear a sermon preach, and I think we could really look up to the person preaching, and it's good to do that. You know, the Bible says to give honor where honor is due, and to, you know, lift up those who work hard among you and are your leaders in the Lord, it says, right? But at the same time, I don't want to hear Sam Powell get up there and preach this deep conviction and then walk away like, wow, Sam has awesome convictions. And then like attach myself to that. I love that guy's convictions. That was powerful. But are my convictions there? You know, and that's where we've got to get, is when we hear preaching, it's not just we're excited about their convictions, but we make it our convictions. Because it's from the Bible. Because that's where the preaching comes from. Right? So from the retreat, whatever things hit you, you want to make sure that it wasn't just the speaker's convictions, but you take the power from the scriptures they used and make their convictions now your convictions. Amen? Yeah. So we'll respond righteously when we develop deep convictions from the Bible. We accept what the word says, and then we apply what the word says. You know, so I really want to make sure that you're applying this broadly. Anytime the word of God is being used, this is how we should respond. Whether it's in your quiet time, in a D time, in the fellowship, on some Facebook post you read, or in any time that God's words are being spoken in a sermon, that we are eager and we respond with repentance, which is the righteous response.
Amen.
You know, I do think we have so much, you know, Romans 10, where does faith come from? Hearing the message, which is the word, right? You know, I mean, we need faith, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Conviction comes from the word. Inspiration, encouragement, teaching, training, correction, you know, for righteousness comes from the word of God. You know, and we have so, we are not remotely deprived of opportunity to hear the word of God.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got, first of all, you should have your daily time with God. So there's 7 days a week you're already reading the Bible. Then you've got midweek every Wednesday. You've got church every Sunday. You've got your D time. You've got Bible talk. And then you might have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 studies with people in between. And when you study with people, the scriptures are not just for them. They're always for you too. And so even though you're focusing on that person, we always got to make sure we're staying soft-hearted to what's being said also, right? So, I mean, look at that. In 1 week as a disciple, look how much opportunity. You might be reading a spiritual book that's quoting scripture. I mean, we have so many. If every single time the word was preached, we were like, all right, all worries of life go away. You know, like pause right now. Full attention. God is speaking. Think how much greater your faith would be. How much deeper conviction would be if every opportunity when the word was being taught throughout the week, you took full advantage and responded to it. You know, you would grow so much if you put it on to practice, took notes, went back and looked at it. You know, it's like the parable of the sower. When the word of God is preached, which it says the seed is the word of God. When the word is used, the speaker is like a farmer planting seed, and those listening are like the soil. And you've got 4 different responses really there. You could be, and 1 is good, and the other 3 are bad. 3 are rebellion, 1 is righteous, right? When you hear the word preached, you can be hardened to it. And you can just be like, I've heard this before. I don't want to listen to that. I don't want to change that. And be like the soil that's hardened and stuck in your ways. Or I think a lot of us, most of us, are like the second soil. We hear sermons preached and we're like, good point. Ooh. And we're fired up and we're excited and we receive it at once with, oh, that was a good point. Ooh. And then we leave and we're no different than before the sermon was preached. It took no root. You heard the word of God preached. You're excited about their convictions, but you didn't make it your conviction.
Wow.
And you can't be the second soil when you have quiet times, hear sermons, have D times. You've got to be the good soil. So don't be all rah-rah, but then don't repent. Right? We've got to be excited about the Word of God, but then we've also got to apply it to our lives. But you could be like the third soil, where you come to things, but your mind is more invested in the world, so you're not paying that much attention. Or your mind is more invested in the worries of life, so you're not paying that much attention. You know, we've really got to give God our full focus and attention so that you can let the Word of God sink in into your heart, into your mind, so that it can produce a crop and produce the fruit of what it was meant for in your life, right? The transformed Jesus-like life that the Word of God wants to have. You know, so I really want to encourage you guys tonight to be the good soil. You know, to really decide that when you hear the Word of God preached, whenever you hear the Word, you're going to repent. You're going to let it transform your mind, your heart, and your life. You're going to grow from it. You're going to change it. You're going to accept it. You're going to apply it. You're going to respond with eagerness and make the message that you're hearing from the Word part of who you are. Now, let's not be people who harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. Don't rebel. Don't flatter yourself with false excitement during the message and then walk away from the sermon or D time the same as you were before. Have true humility and a righteous response to the Word of God. Yeah. Now, I think there's some good reflection to do on this for each of us. And I really want you to think, how do you respond to the Word of God? Where do you stand today with that? When the Word is preached by someone else or you open it yourself, are you responding righteously or are you responding with rebellion? Are you repenting or are you rioting? You know, I think we'll be men and women who turn the world upside down when we really let the Word of God turn us right side up.
Amen.
When we let the Word of God mold us, transform us, and build us, then we will be the people with the faith and the conviction to go out and turn the world upside down like they did. So I really want to encourage us, let's be like the Bereans, and from the spring retreat, to have that heart of, I'm going to respond righteously. As I intelligently reflect, I'm going to respond righteously. And not just stay the same, reject, resist, turn away, or disobey the word that was preached there. Amen?
Amen?
But I don't want to consolidate that to just the retreat. It applies to the retreat, but it really applies to every time you hear the Word of God. Every quiet time, every D time, every single sermon that's preached. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 4, it talks about different gifts that people have. And it talks about people who have the gift of speaking. And it says, each one should use whatever gift he has received, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. And you know, that's how we've got to view it, is when somebody's speaking from the Bible, God is speaking. And when God is speaking, disciples listen. Disciples listen eagerly. Disciples respond with repentance. Amen? So what we're going to do is, you could stay in the tables that you're in right now, or you can get in different groups. We're just going to take 10 minutes and discuss amongst yourselves something that you got from the retreat, or if you weren't at the retreat, maybe a different lesson you heard recently. But something that you got from the retreat that you want to develop a deep conviction in and that you really want to make sure you keep and apply in your life. And then after about 10 minutes of doing that, we'll have one person from each group volunteer to stand up and share for like 30 seconds what you're working on and going to share. Amen?
Yep.
Awesome. So let's break up in our groups and do that.